Yo, 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 what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, the microphone messiah, joined by Poison Scarlet and the man that retained the Bulletcast podcast title, Mr. Brandon Tanguma. What's going on, guys?
What's up? Not only retained, but got every single prediction right. No big deal.
I mean,
I know it was an extremely hard card to predict, but no big deal.
If we roll it back and we look, I also got all of them right, but the only difference is you have the championship and ties go to champion.
Exactly. So, as it should. You got to beat the champion. Philip, did you get every one right?
Of course.
Oh, yes, of course.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I feel like what happened at the end of the show, the title should just go to me. I feel like I said that on the show anyway. So if we really think about it, then I'm the champion.
That's not how it
I
works.
Mean, if we want to get that cray, Greg's been saying that for weeks.
But he hasn't been saying this on the show, so it,
I know, but I keep telling him that. I'm like, listen, if you're going to make these predictions, you just got to come on the show. And he's like, no.
We can't just invite people on the show now. We have to have meetings. We have to have test runs. There's an audition process for this. Not everybody can just come do this.
Yeah, I mean, we had Marley on like for 5 practice episodes before she even showed up on the show for real.
Like there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes here, guys.
And Brian, anyway, I mean, oh, Survivor Series, he even got the job.
Let's talk about Survivor Series.
War Games, it happened. You know, we talk about the big stuff first. CM Punk is back in WWE, ladies and gentlemen. Phil Brooks has returned, gone for almost 10 years. We're a couple months shy of 10 years being gone. It happened after the men's War Games match, you know, after the return of Randy Orton and the doing the greatest hits. They're celebrating. Triple H got us with that watermark at the bottom, something he was famed for in NXT. Did it all the time. All right, this is a cool show. And then, you know, I'm like, what? Wait, no. It happened. He pulled up. Great stuff. Great stuff. Guys, what was your reaction for CM Punk showing up at the end of Survivor Series?
So I was in the middle of telling my husband straight out, wow, okay, so that was a good show, but they didn't really set up a whole lot to build upon for Royal Rumble. And right as I finished saying that, Cult of Personality hit. And when I say it was a stand up and shout type of moment, it was a stand up and shout type of moment. I'm so happy he's back. Can we talk about the fact that he looks good? Like, he looks really good. If you think about what he looked like when he was on AEW and just how tired and burnt out he looked well rested. He looked ready to get to work.
I'm running. Oh, what?
You know, I'm just getting my mute out of the way early. But full disclosure, I did not watch the show live. But if this were to happen, obviously there'd be no way for me to not get spoiled. And it was spoiled for me on Twitter. But I mean, it was a hell of a moment. It was surprising. I was kind of adamant that it wasn't going to happen. I'm kind of mad I didn't see it live because I was just so like, there's no way he's going to show up. And then he ended up doing that. And as you guys know, you know, big CM Punk guy. I'm excited to see him back in WWE, see what he can do. You know, those Chicago fans were fickle because there was reports that there were CM Punk chants in the crowd and they were quickly getting booed out the building. And then once, you know, the music hits, then they all cheer for him and, you know, shower him with praise. But, you know, I'll let Philip talk about fickle fans. That's his stuff, not mine. But it was a hell of a moment. And just, you know, the AEW one was its own thing. It's just two completely different debut returns, whatever you want to call it. AEW, it was a longer time from being gone from the wrestling business, but yet we all knew it was going to be him. And it's this WWE one was an organic, true blue surprise, something unfortunately we don't really get in wrestling anymore. And it was great to see.
Yes, yes, yes. I've already had discussions with people. People are like, oh, they should have let the superstars know CM Punk is coming back. Look, Triple H and Tony Khan are the only people that knew about this. That's fine. The superstars don't need to know. Wrestling is about making money. Let's make some money. Let's do this. Because there the matches that we can already have. We've all seen the video of Seth Rollins in his reaction. You know, boom, let's set that up immediately. Let's do that at the Royal Rumble. You know, let's have Cody run something with CM Punk. Obviously, we need a Roman Reigns CM Punk match, and then whoever else wants to work with CM Punk. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great thing, man. It really is. I'm excited for the matches that we can be having. Let's do something.
So the reporting going around, shout out to my boy Wade Keller. He's saying that the Seth stuff was a work. I mean, he knew about it almost like before the other wrestlers did. So it looks as though we are on the path to a CM Punk Seth Rollins feud. And is that at WrestleMania? Is that the Royal Rumble? Who knows? But both guys were kind of the, you know, 1B to the John Cena Roman Reigns 1A. And these guys are super competitive and want to main event to WrestleMania. And that's kind of a path, even though Seth has said some bad things about CM Punk in the past. You know, money talks. And I think that's what's shutting Seth Rollins up right now to possibly and looks like going to work with CM Punk right now.
I mean, it ain't no possibly. It's like you're going to do it. This isn't the other place where, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And then you got to rewrite the whole show. You know, you're going to work with him and his story. Suck it up.
And CM Punk being the bitter, you know, guy he is, if he were to be on his absolute best behavior in WWE, that would show how bad of a place AEW is, which makes me think he's gonna be on his best behavior just to spite AEW.
Sure.
My boy be petty.
Look, Brandon, do you know we're responsible for two of the biggest moments in wrestling this year?
Exactly. If it wasn't for Philip, well, first off, it goes all the way back to last November. If it wasn't for Philip shattering his ankle,
it was October, but yeah,
October, whatever. If it wasn't for Philip shattering his ankle, CM Punk, you know, coming back to WWE would have never happened.
Yes,
it's a fact.
These are facts. Apparently, Drew McIntyre was angry and stormed out of their ring and out of the arena and all this other things. You know, so we'll wait to hear about that to find out if any of that is true. But guys, the War Games match itself, what were your thoughts? Brandon, what were your thoughts?
The men's War Games, I thought, worked very well. You know, the whole will he, won't he with Randy Orton. I mean, I guess just because it was to set up a pop for him to make the save, you know, at the end of the match. So that was fine with me. I mean, shout out Randy. I mean, he looked really good. He looked like big, not like in a bad way, but just he looked very muscular and kind of a little more heftier than he's seen before. You know, usually he had that swimmer bod, and I kind of joked because of the shaved head and tattoos from the back, he kind of looks like Batista. He's it's bulking season, Philip.
Little bit. Yeah, I agree with that. It was interesting to see Randy Orton come out. He was moving a little different than what you're used to, but I think that may have actually had to do with the fact that he's bulked a little bit more. Still, he looked good. His RKOs were good. Everything was good. The match itself, for me, getting into it, I loved the fact that when you watched Dominic Mysterio come out of the cage, he just looked like a rat that had seen a piece of cheese. He was very excited. Damian Priest pulling the authoritative card on Drew McIntyre sets us up to see Priest versus McIntyre at some point in, you know, on Raw. I'm looking forward to that. But otherwise, you know, just a solid War Games match. It was fun to watch. It was very entertaining. And we had a great return from Randy Orton.
We did. Randy comes out there, you know, clothesline, power slam, or rope elevated, DDT, RKO, hit the greatest hits. Very good stuff. Very, very good stuff. The
looked like he was just having a fun time out there.
Yeah, of course. Then he turned over to Jay, you know, started, you know, hunting him and just let him know, like, hey, I ain't forgot what went down. just that little subtlety in the storytelling was very good. But yes, I mean, this was cool. This was cool. And then, but Rhea Ripley and Zoe Stark, they had a nice one for the Women's World Championship. Rhea gets the dubski, as we all knew she would.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, crowd was kind of, they liked Rhea Ripley, and it's kind of like a heel dynamic, and there was no real like storyline into it, so I think it was just kind of like a match to, you know, get Rhea win, crowd can chant for mommy, you know, she gets some heat and whatever the case may be. The match was fine. I mean, I think Zoe Stark is still like a talented worker, but just she wasn't put in the best spot here just because, as I said, no story, and everyone knew she was going to lose.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a filler match, which sucks because it's Rhea Ripley and it's Zoe Stark and they're both great athletes. But I feel like the crowd just wasn't into it as much as they were for some of the other matches. And unfortunately, that's what you get a lot of the time with women's wrestling. But I mean, you put mommy on stage and she just shines. With that said, both women put out a great show. I always love Mommy. I mean, she's on top for a reason, and I do not see her climbing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the crowd reaction kind of goes to where this match was clearly the match before the main event, and so they were like, okay. They don't care too much about it to begin with, which goes to the booking of the match itself, but probably also the crowd was little burnt out at that point, and they kind of are probably saving themselves for the main event of War Games. But I agree, the crowd, especially the Chicago crowd, could have been much better for this.
Yeah,
I mean, they were hot for Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar. That was dope. It was a fun match.
Yeah, I mean, these two guys, they go like 7 minutes. Definitely could have done much more if asked to do so. You know, Escobar gets the win. They're building him up. I hope they have plans for Dragon Lee in the future. I think they do, you know, especially if Rey is going to be out, he can kind of be in the spot of Rey. So maybe this is like a primer. You know, we can look back and this is like the first match they had on WWE, but they'll have much better ones in the future.
Can we talk about how both guys just looked so good? Like coming out, you could see the work that they've put in, and I don't know. I just mad respect for both of them, especially Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee looked bulked.
I didn't know we talk about men's physiques so much on this show. Philip, what do you think of Dragon Lee's physiques? Was he looking yoked, yacked?
I was jacked? Looking at his physique. I was just focusing on the in-ring work.
Okay.
What else? Gunther retains the Intercontinental title against The Miz. Miz made you believe for a split second that possibly, maybe, he was going to be the one. But the ring general made him tap out.
Yes, he did. Solid match. You know, similar to the women's title match. Doubt, well, you know, the finish wasn't really in doubt, but I think at this point, the history of Gunther's title reign, people want it to be over, just then kind of be there for history. So even though maybe The Miz isn't the best babyface in the world, you know, in a bubble going up against Gunther, some near falls, the crowd is going to pop and kind of cheer behind The Miz just because they want to see him beat Gunther in front of their eyes.
I really liked the fact that at the end of the show and when you got into the press conference, one of the questions asked to Gunther was, what do you think of The Miz now that you've been in the ring with him? And, you know, do you respect him? And he was like, oh, you know, I respect him. He's a good wrestler. He's just not on my level. Which really made me giggle because it was like, thank you for staying with the kayfabe and that, you know, being like, oh, yeah, you know, I respect him, but he's not like me. Solid match between both of them. The Miz put out a really good showing, but let's be real. All of us knew that The Miz was not going to be the person to take the title off of Gunther. And I think that when we do see that happen, it'll be someone that we don't expect.
All right, Women's War Games. trash cans, tables, kendo sticks, just chaos. Shotzi Blackheart throwing her body around. Chaos.
Let's just give major flowers to the fact that we had two Bay Area women in the War Games event for the women this time. Yay!
Yes, the Bay. You can even, hell, you can even throw Dragon Lee in there. I mean, he won the King of the Indies out here in the Bay three times. We'll throw him in there real quick. The Bay Area wrestling scene was represented on the show. Of course, Cody, you know, Cody did some stuff over here too. So, yeah, there we go. We'll throw it all in there, sure. But what'd you guys think of the match?
I'm sorry. It's late. I'm tired. I had to help move. It was, my back's killing me. I'm getting old. My brain's not functioning like it used to, but I thought the match was a lot of fun. You know, put the War Games on match and in the opening spot, it's going to get a loud reaction. You know, there was some clunkiness at points. The crescendo of Becky and Charlotte kind of hugging it out and being together. I don't think it kind of hit the note maybe they were looking for. It didn't get, I think, the crowd reaction that WWE wanted. But, Io, a pro, they said, she's had the most matches ever in War Games at 5. She did her trash can spot, and the babyfaces win. Definitively, Bayley takes the pinfall loss, so kind of furthering down that rabbit hole of possibly her being on the outs. Maybe it's, her and Dakota against the three Joshis, and they kind of do, whatever they're going to do into the Royal Rumble WrestleMania build.
Yeah, I feel very similarly to Brandon in regards to the women's match. I thought it was a great match. It was one of my favorites of the night. I think the two War Games matches were my favorites of the night. But with that said, you definitely didn't get the pop that WWE wanted for the Charlotte and Becky hug, even though, they'd been building towards that. Io's trash can spot always makes me so happy. Charlotte backflipping off of the cage and onto the bodies was great. Lots of chaos.
Io right in the head.
I know, right? We saw that and we were like, lots of chaos, as you'd expect from a War Games match, but ultimately, did it measure up to the men's match? I think it missed it by just a hair.
Yeah, and this one had the baby faces get the advantage, which is something we don't normally see, but, shout out to a certain potato chip company for sponsoring not only the vote, but the entire match. And I think that kind of played into it as well. Not exactly like the in-ring work, but just the heels were getting the pops for, making the save, quote unquote. And I don't think that's exactly the psychology you want in a War Games style match. So maybe that played into it a little bit as well. But yeah, overall, I think the men's match was probably better. Also, just because I think it had more of a story going into it with everybody involved. And there was kind of like different little branching off parts of it. But maybe not as good as the Bloodline one last year, but still, I think both the men's and women's matches were pretty good.
Yes. You have something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard to top the Bloodline match from last year, though. Like, how do you top that? That was like cinematic masterpiece level of work.
That's what they do, man. That's what the Bloodline does, man. I don't know how you're gonna doubt that, man. But yeah, I mean, War Games is in the books. Look, man, the CM Punk of it all is gonna put this up there. Does he start off Raw on Monday?
I believe he will be there.
I mean, does he start off the show? Do they open up? I'm waiting for the promo. I'm waiting for people to just come out there and say they got a problem with him. Let's tell some stories, man.
So we're gonna do the rare Raw preview. What does he say? Does he just kind of do what he did in AEW, where he just kind of has the floor for 10-15 minutes and just says whatever he wants? Or is he gonna go more in a storyline direction. Maybe he, you know, starts with that and then ends maybe with Seth making a run in or something.
Exactly. Let's do both.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Let's do it all here. But yeah, it's, I mean, WrestleMania 40. We're going to have CM Punk, Randy Orton.
Well, we don't know if CM Punk's going to make it that far. Let's not put the cart before the horse here, Philip.
Look, we're claiming it. CM Punk, Randy Orton, Jade Cargill, the possibility of John Cena coming back, Roman Reigns. I'm not ruling out Dwayne yet. I'm not ruling out The Rock just yet. Cody Rhodes. I mean, WrestleMania 40 has the potential to be one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time with the star power that is on these shows.
Absolutely.
You know what? Wrestling has been crazy with these past 2 years. These past 2 years, wrestling has been crazy. Things have happened that we didn't think would happen. If the money was right, do you think we can get CM Punk versus Stone Cold Steve Austin? Now, obviously, it's not, you know, what it could have been, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. But the money is right. Do you think that's something we can see? They go out there, have a walk and brawl, a stunner, a GTS, and you go home?
I mean, that would be fun, but who knows what they've got cooking in the books.
We don't know what's happening, man. I mean, this, a lot of
I'll
things
just take the on. I'll just take a return to the Broken Skull sessions with CM Punk.
You know and then we use it to advance the story. I
mean, we all thought a WWE 2K or whatever the video game thing was going to lead to something. So we're just going to right back where we started. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Well, no, I mean, but Austin's wrestled since then. So
I know, but it was in Texas. He had like an actual close to his career, kind of. So money's enticing. So, and he's always put over Punk.
We do it at a pay-per-view in Texas. Boom.
We make the trip there. I heard you got connections in Texas, Philip.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. All right, guys. Survivor Series is over. What grade are we giving it?
I'm giving it an A. I mean, you can't not give it an A when you've got such good returns.
What are you going to give it, Brandon?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. You know what? I'll give it an A as well. The two War Games match delivered. The three matches in the middle, maybe a tad bit disappointing, but you don't want to, you know, blow your load throughout the entire night. This isn't an AEW pay-per-view, people. And so I'll give it an A. And also, we're not going to talk about all the returns and not talk about R-Truth coming back. I mean, come on. The biggest return of them all.
Yes, R-Truth is back. Lil Jimmy's back.
I love him. Ducky. He's so great.
Ducky. But Brandon gave it an A. I'm going to give it an A. A.
I don't even know when's the last time we've been given like an A-, let alone an A.
Because we're doing it over here. They are hitting hard over here. What else? What else is going to happen? What else is going to happen? Who else is coming over? Who else is jumping ship? I need to know.
Stay tuned for the next episode of the Bulletcast where we talk about what's
coming back. This mean FTR coming back? Hold on. This mean FTR coming back?
Maybe.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
Could you imagine CM FTR versus the Bloodline?
Could you imagine CM FTR and Bayley becoming a faction?
How does that work?
I don't know. We figure it out.
Figure it out right now.
Well, let's see. So let's say that FTR comes back at Royal Rumble. And at Royal Rumble, Damage Control finally go off on Bayley at Women's Rumble. And next Raw, you get Bayley coming out, trying to make amends for some odd reason or another. She gets jumped by Rhea. And FTR comes out to save the day. FTR already has a relationship with CM Punk because of their stuff from AEW, and that's how they turn into a faction.
Wait. Where? How does Rhea figure into this?
I don't know. I'm just trying. I'm pulling things out of my butt.
Well, if we were going to book this, it has to make sense.
I'm not a booker.
Neither is Tony Khan, but here we are.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, it's CMFTR versus the Bloodline. That sounds like something interesting. I don't know. All right, guys, we're going to be gone. We'll be back with another episode later on in the week discussing the fallout of all this stuff. As always, thank you guys so much. Be safe and stay dangerous. Yes, sir.